Herzlich willkommen im Hörbuch- und Podcaststudio Wortwelten Berlin bei meinem Hörbuch-Podcast Yara trifft. Ich bin Hörbuchsprecherin, auch Regisseurin, Studiobetreiberin und Mutter. In meinem Podcast geht es deswegen um das Leben im Allgemeinen und Hörbücher im Besonderen. In dieser Folge begegne ich der New York Times Bestseller-Autorin Elizabeth Lim, um mit ihr über ihren neuen Fantasy-Roman Der Fluch der Schwestern zu sprechen, den ich als Hörbuch einlesen durfte. Welcome, Elizabeth Lim, to my audio podcast Yara trifft. Yara meets New York best-selling author Elizabeth Lim. How are you?
I'm great. Hi, Yara. It's so nice to finally meet you. Thank you so much for reading all of my books in German. You've done a fantastic job.
I'm so lucky that I can surf in your fantastic world. The latest book I read was Der Fluch der Schwestern, Her Radiant Curse. So can you talk about your inspiration behind this last book?
Yes. So Her Radiant Curse is technically a prequel to Six Crimson Cranes, but actually I wrote it before I wrote Six Crimson Cranes, which a lot of people don't know. So that helped me plan out the book a little bit.
It's such a strong story of those two sisters, and I was so overwhelmed by these characters. I have two sisters, and this love and commitment between them. Do you have sisters?
I do. I have a younger sister. She's 10 years younger. And before writing Her Radiant Curse, most of my books had centered around sibling relationships of sister and brother. So I was really excited to work on a story about sisters and just to really explore the relationship between the two characters, Chani and Vanna, who are cursed with two very different curses. One is beautiful, beautiful to a divine, and Chani is monstrous. And it's a little bit reflective of the fairy tale Beauty and the Beast.
Yes. Since when are you writing, Elizabeth?
I started writing probably in elementary school when I was 8 or 9. Just for class assignments, our teacher would ask us to write very short stories. And so that was probably how I started. I never actually wanted to become a published author. That had never been my dream as a child. So it's always been a surprise to me now to see how my path has turned out. When I was young, I was very much a serious musician. So I really wanted to become a composer. I even came to Berlin one summer to study music.
No, really?
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was when I was in university.
Oh, you speak a little bit German?
I studied German while I was there, but my German is very poor.
Oh, this is so great. And which is your instrument?
My primary instrument is piano, but I was a composer.
Yes, I read your vita. I'm impressed you went to Juilliard School and to Harvard College. And my question is composing music similar to writing books?
For me, it is very similar. I feel like I use the same part of my brain that I used for writing music. It's just a different medium. Now I'm writing words. But I think a lot of the ways that I construct stories is very similar to how I used to compose music. So in music, for instance, I would write a theme and try to develop that theme throughout the piece, whether it's like a motif or a melody, for instance. And then in stories, I think of those motifs as characters or as themes such as like love, or in Her Radiant Curse, like sisterhood or the curse itself, and how that develops throughout the progression of the novel. And so in that respect, I think they're very similar. Also rhythmically, in music, obviously, you think about rhythm a lot. You think about time and space that your music takes up. Whereas in writing, something that I pay attention to a lot is the rhythm of my words, especially in the dialogue. Like, I try to speak everything aloud and make sure it sounds natural and sounds like something an actual person would say. But I also think a lot about breath in between the words and between the sentences and like the cadences of speech.
That's so great. Yeah, it's breath and rhythm, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm trying to make your job just a little bit easier.
There's a question of a fan of your books, and she asked, will there be more stories about Maya and Eden? Maya and Idan in German. Those are the main characters of your books, Spin the Dawn, Ein Kleid aus Seide und Sternen, and Unravel the Dusk, Bestickt mit den Tränen des Mondes. These two books I read first. So is there a chance to get more of those two guys?
I haven't planned anything at this moment, but I will never say that a story is completely over, because all the books that I've been writing so far are in the same universe. So you never know if somebody might show up.
There's another question. Which German book cover, if you know them, do you like the most?
Oh, yeah, of course. I've seen the German book covers. I think my favorite one is still Spin the Dawn's book cover. I really love the dress on the front. It's very beautiful and very evocative.
You're a composer. You're a writer. From whom did you get your passion for telling stories, for being in music?
You know, it's funny. There's actually no musicians in my family. My family is mostly engineers and doctors. And so I think my parents were quite surprised that I really took to music, but they had always encouraged me and they really supported my interest in music and in the arts. So I'm very grateful. As a kid, my parents also, I think, really exposed me to different stories. Like, they really encouraged me to read, and the movies and films that I would watch a lot of fairy tales from all around the world. We had back then it was called Blockbuster. It was where you would go rent videos, and there would be one small shelf of like cartoons and fairy tales, and there would be some from all around the world, like stories that I had never heard of and quite hard to find now. And one of them, for instance, was a cartoon. I think it was a Russian cartoon of the wild swans. And so that was how I became really exposed to that particular fairy tale. And yeah, I would just watch all of them. I would go through that shelf. And then once there were no more movies, I would find books and read them all.
Yeah. And in your books, you combine like Western fairy tales and Asian fairy tales. Which is stronger in your imagination?
I would say they're both equally strong. So far in the world that I've created, most of the novels have a Western fairy tale as the base. But I like to think that the frame might be a Western fairy tale, like for instance in Spin the Dawn or Six Crimson Cranes. But the world itself is heavily influenced by my Chinese heritage and by the stories that I grew up listening to and the folk tales and the myths. I would say in that sense, they're both like, they have equal footing.
It's young adult fantasy you write. Did it happen to you, or did you really decide to write for young adults?
Oh, that's a good question. So I actually began writing adult fiction, and I wasn't even writing fantasy. I was writing like what we call here chick lit. It's like women's fiction that's a little bit like lighthearted and romantic. Mm-hmm. And so I started writing that. It was really just for fun. I was in grad school, and then I was lucky enough to get an agent for that book. And when we started submitting it to editors, several of the editors wrote back. They were like, oh, we really enjoyed this, but your voice sounds a little bit young. Like, maybe you would consider rewriting this for teenagers. And so that was actually really good feedback. And I just like thought about that advice for a long time. And so the next books that I set out to write, I decided to write it for young adult. And I actually decided to change over to fantasy because when I was a young adult, that was mostly what I read. I read a lot of fantasy. I read a little bit of science fiction, but mostly like speculative fiction. Like a lot of fantasy by female authors, whatever I could find.
Yeah. In the past, it got more female main characters, and your main characters are so strong. It's Maya, it's Shiori and Ma, it's Hani and Vanna. So you spoke before about heritage. For me, I found out you have two daughters, yes?
Oh, I have three daughters now.
Three! And I have two daughters. Speaking about female heritage, like Maya in this world, she's a tailor, sie ist eine Schneiderin. Als Mädchen hat sie nicht so viele Chancen wie ein Mann. Also she is not able to do everything she wants to do, but she has this magic power to sew. My question is, what would you like to wish you for your daughters to have a magic power?
I think as a mom, obviously, I would wish for all my daughters to have the power to heal because I feel like I'm always worrying about them. So it's like whenever they fall down, I'm like, oh, no, no. Or whenever they're sick, right now, everyone has a cold in the house. I'm just like, oh, I wish you would just heal faster and feel better. But if I'm to pick, so that one's just like the mama bear in me. Like, obviously, I just want them all to heal. But I think if I were to pick another power for them, they're still too young for me to know what their interests are. For instance, my oldest is 5. So, and she hasn't quite shown a passion for like sewing like Maya does. I mean, she really does like to draw. So maybe a power that she would like would be for her drawings to come to life or something. That's actually a Chinese folktale called the magic paintbrush, where whatever the person paints with the paintbrush, it comes to life. So that would be very interesting. It's a slightly related to my next book too.
Really? It's your next book about that?
A little bit. My next book has an artist.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, thank you. and then my middle child, she is only 3. I don't know what she would like. Right now, she really likes butterflies and unicorns. So maybe she would like to fly. And then the baby is only a baby. So I don't know. I'll reserve what I would pick for her right now.
How does being a mother influence your work and life balance then?
It's very difficult. I've become much slower at writing for sure. But I mean, I think I've become much more flexible in my writing. Like before I had children, I would just work straight from like 9 to 5, of course, like taking breaks. But now I just really have to become a much more organized worker, I think. I try to organize my thoughts the day before so that I know what I want to work on the next day. And I might not get, for instance, a few hours where I can work. I might only get 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. And I just learned to be much more efficient.
Yeah.
And not to waste as much time like reading, going on Wikipedia or just reading random news. So I think also I've just like really cut back on social media. So I just like tried to trim things here and there and put my children and my work first so that I can meet my deadlines.
Yes. There's a next question then. Do you have help with your social media accounts? Because it's such lovely accounts. Or you do it by yourself?
Oh, thank you. I do everything by myself. Occasionally, I'll ask my husband to help me film. But aside from that, everything is I do by myself.
Sensational. And just come back to the covers. You told me that you really loved all of them, but especially Ein Kleid aus Seide und Sternen, Spin the Dawn. Dieses Cover hast du am liebsten jetzt gemacht. Are you involved in creating the covers? Bist du beteiligt im Kreieren der Covers?
For the German covers? No, I don't have any involvement.
And for the American ones?
For the American ones, I have a little bit of say, not too much. My editor will show me a sketch from the artist. I might make a few suggestions here and there, but I'm not the art director for sure. I just make small suggestions, or like I'll make small changes, ask for small changes so that it can reflect the book.
Yeah,
more.
Because they're really lovely. They are so lovely.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love them.
In the US, yes. Because your books are translated in a lot of languages. Do you know all of the covers?
I think I've seen all of the covers.
Yeah, how is it? Is it this feeling? Are they similar? Are they different?
They're all very different, I will say. Okay. Yeah, I think they all capture the essence of the book well, but in different ways.
Such a lot of books already. I had the pleasure to read 5 of them, I think. I have to count.
Yeah,
1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5.
Yeah, thank you.
And like, which of those books was the hardest one to write?
I always think sequels are very difficult to write. So sequels have been difficult for me. But I think the book that was the most satisfying to write has been Her Radiant Curse, because I didn't know whether that book would ever get published. My publisher had warned me that prequels don't tend to do as well on the market, but I just really, really wanted to share a Chinese story with my readers. I felt it was really important. But I didn't know until like well into I was writing The Dragon's Promise whether or not Her Radiant Curse would be accepted by my publisher. So once I finally got the green light to work on it, it was very satisfying for me to finally be able to tell her side of the story and to share a bit more about her world, because I really think that her Chinese story informs what happens later on with Shiori. They're very much intertwined. Did you have a favorite character that you enjoyed voicing?
Yeah, for me, it was Chani being there at the lake and in the end of Her Radiant Curse.
Okay.
It's such an intense moment. For me, as an audiobook narrator, I am... It's like a movie in my fantasy. Uh-huh. And it was really spectacular for me to be in that moment and to talk to Vanna. You created a really intimate situation with those characters. Because for me, I have this film in myself going on. Is somebody interested perhaps in film rights, I wondered?
Nothing that I know of at the moment.
Because we learn from stories. We learn in stories there is a time to get this intense reflection about more generations even. What do you think about the world as it is now? Is it changing? I mean, we're still in a man's world. Do you think, you believe that stories can change the world?
Yeah, of course. I definitely believe stories can change the world. I think, honestly, I'm an optimist. So I think for women, things have definitely, without question, improved since even 100 years ago, barely 100 years ago, a little more than 100 years ago, women in the United States were still fighting for the vote. So, I mean, there will be little tremors here and there where we go backwards in terms of progress. But I think overall, the general direction has been forward and things have gotten much better for women. And I do think that stories have a lot to play in that they help spread awareness and help spread the word. For instance, fairy tales themselves have been told for centuries upon centuries. And I mean, in the beginning, they were used as stories to warn children, like not to go in the woods, not to talk to strangers. But I do think that also some of these stories, for instance, The Wild Swans, one of the things I always loved about it was that the princess is not like a lot of the princess in some of these fairy tales. She doesn't necessarily rely on a prince to save her, to kiss her or break the curse. She's the one who's breaking the curse over her brothers by herself. And she's doing that with great bravery, knowing that she might be burned for being a witch, or like others will think upon her as some strange like witch or an outcast. So I think stories like that really, they might not have the intent of spreading awareness like feminist messages, but I do think that over time, it signals an importance. I don't know. What do you think?
Yes, of course. I think it's an impact for those readers and listeners of those stories. In her Radiant Curse, you give such a focus on those strong female characters, because in a lot of fantasy stories, there are a lot of wars going on.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's a radiant cause. It's about identity. Who am I? And to get this self-love and getting strong inside yourself. So I was really pleased to read this story and it's an empowerment for young women. I think this female perspective is growing because there are more female authors who are published.
I agree. When I was growing up, I sought out female fantasy authors, and there really weren't half as many as there are today who are writing and publishing. So I think the readers today are very lucky. Yeah. And just from my experience, one of the inspirations behind Maya and Spin the Dawn was when I was working as a composer. As you might know, most of the composers in history, probably like 99% of them, are male. that has changed today, but still in music, the majority of composers are male. And as a female who was studying to be a composer, like, it wasn't often, but a few times I did encounter, you know, people who were like, oh, because you're a girl, you know, why don't you just marry somebody instead? And then you can write your little music, or, you know, you're not going to become there's no way you can become a composer. You're just a girl. Like, this was told to me, like, not often, but more times than it should, which is more than zero. Anytime more than zero is more than it should be, right?
Of course. Yeah.
So that a little bit of those feelings, my reactions trickled down to Maya in the beginning of the book, where she's told by the minister that she cannot become a master tailor simply because she's a woman. So
yeah, that we get aware, that the young women get aware. It's about reflection and to trust themselves and to have role models. I just wanted to tell you, here in Berlin, there's now a conductor, Gendarmenmarkt, and she is a female.
Yes, I've read about her.
But it's still weird that it's so special, you know?
I think conducting is even more difficult than composing for females, and I hope that changes.
Yeah, you are still composing? Or is it at the moment really the writing?
At the moment, I have not been composing. I unfortunately just don't have time to do both writing and composing. So it's on hold, but maybe one day I'll go back.
What's up next for you? You told me it's probably this book about this Chinese fairy tale about an artist.
So the next book is called A Forgery of Fate. It's going to be released next year, and it's a reimagining of the Beauty and the Beast fairy tale, but with dragons. There's some influence from the Chinese folktale A Magic Paintbrush, which is about an artist who has a paintbrush where anything that he paints will come to life. So it's not exactly the same as that folktale, but there is some inspiration. And I'm very excited about this book. I hope my readers will enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth Lim, for your time.
Oh, thank you so much. It was lovely chatting with you.
So goodbye, and say hello to New York. If you come to Berlin once, come by in our little podcast studio, audiobook studio here in Prenzlauer Berg, Wortwelten Berlin. There's always time for coffee.
Okay, thank you.
Das war mein Hörbuch-Podcast Yara trifft, die New York Times Bestseller-Autorin Elizabeth Lim. Ich bedanke mich bei Wortwelten Berlin für die Podcast-Produktion, bei Meyers Nachtcafé für die tolle Musik und bei euch allen fürs Zuhören. Schenkt mir gerne ein Like, wenn es euch gefallen hat, und schreibt mir in die Kommentare eure Wünsche. Teilt die Folgen auch gerne über eure Social-Media-Kanäle, wenn ihr Freude daran hattet. Ich sende euch herzliche Grüße aus Berlin und das tiefe Ein- und Ausatmen nicht vergessen.